Let us all say amen. Amen. And thank you, Brother David, for that song. My wife actually said, "Babe, did you ask David to sing that song?" I said, "No, David picked that out." Amen. Amen. Yeah, it goes right with our lesson on this morning, a new life. A new life. Before we get there, I'd like to always bring our attention to the fact that we're here this morning to worship God in spirit and in truth. We find that the Bible teaches, and on the first worship service after the resurrection of Christ, the Bible talks about the five acts of worship that they participated in. The Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching from the word of God. The Bible says they also had fellowship. The word fellowship simply means to share. And the sharing here is the sharing with the Lord, what the Lord has blessed you with, giving back to the Lord. Yeah. And then the Bible says, and in breaking of bread, we took communion on this morning that allows our hearts to go back and be reminded of the suffering that Christ did for all of us, for our sins. And as the brother led us this morning, broke the bread and the fruit of the vine. We talked about that on last week, why grape juice was selected by the Lord and the meaning, Deuteronomy 32 and 14. And then we said also we had prayer on this morning. Thank the brothers that led us in prayer on this morning. And then in verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we praise God with the fruit of our lips, according to Hebrews 13. We sing, not with mechanical instruments, but with the Lord has given us to sing with. We praise him. We thank him. And one of the ways we thank him by assembling to worship those that are able to come and worship the Lord on Sunday. You're physically able. You're not providentially hindered. And I still like to encourage anyone, if I'm not providentially hindered, then I should be assembling with the saints. Amen? Amen. To worship God in spirit and in truth. And then our hope is that there's someone in the audience this morning and you're not a Christian according to the Bible. It's my responsibility to share with you at the close of this message how you can be added to the church. You're not saved until you add it to the church. Amen? Amen. On Friday morning, the Lord allowed me to wake up. And I did something that I rarely do. But I woke up. The Lord woke me up Friday morning. And so I grabbed my phone. And you know, sometimes you want to just get caught up on what's happening. So I have on my app, I went to ABC Channel 13 News. Selected it. One of the articles I read, it spoke about a 17-year-old who has struggled in life and was shot to death in her apartment. And the spiritual question is, did she lay hold on eternal life? Also, it was an ex-employee shoots and kills a man with a shotgun after a quarrel. Question is, had that person laid hold on eternal life? Also, I read there was a man found shot to death on the feeder road. Question is, had he laid hold on eternal life? And I also read where a truck 18-wheeler was traveling eastbound on I-10. And the tire came loose. And it went across the divider. And the tire hit the passenger of the driven car, and it drove into a curve or whatever, and that person died. And I thought about that because I drive I-10 westbound almost every day. The question is, that person that died, the spiritual question, have they laid hold on eternal life? And then finally, I read where there was an arrest made 1 year after a 16-year-old was shot and killed at the convenience store here in Acres Home, 2502 West Little York. Yeah, not far. We passed that this morning coming in. They finally arrested the 18-year-old who shot and killed a 16-year-old. And the spiritual question is, had they laid hold on eternal life? Church, friends, that's the question. And so, as we look this morning at this mess, this is the close of Paul's first letter to Timothy. And he wanted to make the point as he closed the letter. The statement is that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's the question this morning. And First Timothy, get your Bibles, 1 Timothy 6, before we get into our text this morning. Paul did something. 1 Timothy 6, meet me at verse number 6. Paul has spoken to those that were enslaved. You find that in verse 1, when he called the term, let as many servants as are under the yoke. That means they're in slavery. Count their own masters worthy of all honor. So Paul wrote to Timothy, and he wanted those poor Christians that were enslaved how they ought to live. So if I'm in 2023 and I'm struggling financially and I have challenges financially, what the Lord is saying to us in verse number 6, Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And godliness, by definition we gave then, is the submission of honor and loyalty that is shown to God. Godliness is when I submit myself, I honor, and I so show loyalty to God. That's godliness. But he also said, with contentment. Contentment is to be pleased and satisfied with what one has. So even though I may not have much, Paul told those enslaved Christians that if they were godly and if they had contentment, they were pleased with what they had, Paul said that's great gain. And then he told them in verse number 7, he said, but we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And he told them an admonition to all. He said, having food and raiment, Let us be there we're content. If I'm blessed by God with food to eat and a roof over my head, I should be content. Yeah. Paul said that to those that were poor. Yeah. So if I'm not pleased, if I'm not satisfied with life, the question is why? Because Paul said, if you are living godly, you to put the Lord first, and you're faithful to the Lord, Paul said that's great gain. Yeah. If we can eat, we got a roof over our head, we ought to be content. That's what he told the poor Christians. Well, Paul, speaking on equality, he went now, in verse 17, he talked to those that are rich, those are wealthy people. So he told the poor how you ought to live. Yeah, be godly and be satisfied. Don't be a complainer. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about how God killed so many thousands about their complaining. Don't murmur. Don't complain. That's not the spirit of a Christian. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so if I'm living life and I'm complaining about life, yeah, that's not what the Bible says. Let me show you that in the Bible. Complain. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you got your Bible. Yeah, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you that. I don't like to say things and then not my responsibility to share with you what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number, I'm going to start at verse 8 because it gives you the number there. He said, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. God killed 23,000 people because of that. He said, now neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Then in verse 10 he says, neither murmur, that means complain, ye, as some of them also murmured and was destroyed of the destroyer. And Paul told the Corinthians, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world have come. So again, as a Christian, I'll not be complaining. Yeah, that don't mean that you ain't gonna have pains and hurts and challenges and difficulties in life, but it's the spirit I possess. And I'm gonna show you why we ought not complain. So Paul was talking to those now that were rich. And he told them, he said, Paul told Timothy to tell the rich people, those that are wealthy. He said to them, he said, charge them or instruct them that are rich in this world. A couple of things, Paul said, that they be not high-minded. And the high-minded mean when your mind is high, meaning you above people. Yeah. Yeah, and let me just say this here. You don't have to be rich to think you all that in a bag of chips. Yeah, you can be poor and still think you all that. But I guess the tendency here was that when people had a lot, they think they better than people. He said, teach them they don't be high-minded. Also, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So Paul told Timothy, share with those that are wealthy at your congregation, that are in Ephesus, those that are wealthy. Let them know, number one, just because you got money, don't start trusting in your money. Yeah, because money can take wings. Yeah, it can fly away. Yeah, you know, sometimes the Lord can put things in your life to take away your money. Yeah, it seems like you got a hole in your pocket. So Paul told Timothy, talk to those that got something
and let them know, don't start trusting in your money. But your trust ought to be in the living God. And he said, because God gives us all things richly. And he gives us stuff for enjoyment. Yeah, so if you got some money and you want to take your vacation, take your vacation. Not a staycation, but a vacation. Yeah, staycation, I had to learn this. My sister taught me this. She taught me that when you stay at home and don't go nowhere, that's a staycation. A vacation is when my wife taught me this here. She said, let me tell you something, Pastor Rob. I think one time we took a vacation. I thought we'd taken a vacation. We stayed at home. And so I said, well, babe, you're on vacation. She said, let me share something with you, brother. I said, what you mean? She said, let me tell you something. If I got to make up my own bed, if I have to cook my own breakfast, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't on no vacation. She said, because when you're on vacation, you leave and tell them to come clean it when you go. You go somewhere else to get your meal. She said, that is a vacation. Amen, somebody. I had to learn that. I said, well, babe, I'm off from work. No, no, no. Understand this here. As long as we got to make up that bed, as long as I got to go in there and I got to cook the bacon that you eat, that ain't no occasion. And so for those of us that, I'm saying this to Christian because sometimes if we're not careful, we don't enjoy life. Yeah. If the Lord done bless you, and he said, the word enjoyment means things that gives pleasure or enjoyment. And let me say this here, as a Christian, that don't mean be going to Louisiana and getting on them boats and gambling. That ain't Christian pleasure. Yeah, he talked about a widow woman who was dead while she lived in pleasure. Yes, yeah, so you can be a Christian, enjoying yourself, having you a good time, but it's not Christian-like. Yeah. Paul tells him, enjoy yourself. But then he told him also, he said that they have some responsibility because God made them wealthy. But let me say this for all of us. Whether I'm poor or whether I'm wealthy, Paul told the church in Philippians, he said, but my God, he made it personal, shall supply not some, all your need according to his riches and glory, and is by Jesus Christ. So I wanted to say that to all of us. So in case I'm struggling with stuff, understand that God, Peter told us in 1 Peter 3:12, that God's eyes are over the right. All I got to do is live right. Just live right. Pray to God. And allow God to bless God all your needs. The Lord take care of. Yeah. So if I don't, I have a problem. That's what Paul was telling them. Don't trust in your riches. Trust in God. Yeah. God will take care of your needs. God will. And so Paul told them that were Christians. He said, but they do good. Good means morally good. No, you got a wealth, you know, help somebody out. That's what the word means. He says they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The word distribute means you are ready to give to somebody. Yeah. And then he said, not only that, be willing to share what you have. If the Lord done bless you, don't keep it all to yourself. Share it with somebody. Why is that, Brother Stout? Because the Bible teaches that. Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor, go to work, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Yeah, the Lord will bless you. Jesus said you're going to have the poor with you. Yeah, there's going to always be somebody less fortunate than you. So when the Lord blessed me, and I first give to the Lord, because I've seen people sometimes think they give to somebody else, don't have to give to them. No, watch yourself. You always give the Lord his first. Yeah. We can't have no lights in the house. We're going to give to the Lord first. Yeah, we just use candles this weekend. We're going to give to the Lord. Yeah. And then the Lord tells us, not only do you give to the Lord and you take care of your needs, but then also have something to take care and give to other people. That's the Christian attitude.
And so he told them that you all is wealthy, you got something, share it, give it. And all that sharing, you can also give more to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Lord, and bless me with something extra. I want to give Lord extra. And so that's the mindset. But in Proverbs chapter 30, Agar says something that I try to live by. And Agar said he wasn't a man. Turn to Proverbs 30. Let me show you how he said he was. And he's talking about himself. Proverbs 30. And then we're going to look at the text. He said in Agar, say the words of Agar. He said in verse 2 about himself. Notice what he said about himself. Proverbs 32. He said, surely I am more brutish. And the word means kind of, I don't know much, than any man. He said, and have not the understanding of a man. He said, I'm just kind of ignorant. He said, I neither learn wisdom nor have the knowledge. Although he said, I don't have no wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of those that are holy. But now notice what he said. He said this. I'm in Proverbs 30 now, 7. He asked the Lord. He said, two things have I required of thee. He asked the Lord, deny me them not before I die. Two things. He said, Lord, two things I'm asking before I die. Just don't deny these from me. He said, remove from me vanity and lies. In other words, Lord, get me focused on that I start wasting time on stuff that don't mean nothing. And also sitting around listening and speaking lies. Then he said, give me neither poverty nor riches. That's what he asked the Lord. Lord, don't make me poor, and I don't want to be rich. He said, feed me with food convenient for me. What he did is ask the Lord, and I take this stance too. Lord, you know what I can manage. Because some of us, we get too much, we start acting up. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, you get too much. You know, some people say, he get $5 over his, and he don't know how to. Yeah. So we say, Lord, don't make me poor. And he's going to talk about the reason why. And he said, Lord, I don't want to be rich. Lord, you know what I can manage. I want you to give me that portion that I can manage and still walk around with sense in my head. And then he told why he didn't want to be neither one. He said, because if I got full, you know, sometimes people start doing well and they'll start missing worship service. Yeah, you know, I can miss 1 week. I'm doing good, money good, paychecks, overtime. You know, I can take a week off. Agar said, I don't want to be fooled, because I may start thinking like some of the rich people, I don't need the Lord. I start trusting in my money. Then he said, you may start saying, somebody said, man, you coming to worship service? For what? You know? Man, you know you need God? For what? Do you see what's going on with me? Who is the Lord? Sometimes we can get that way. You know. People out there and they just whatever and don't let them be doing well. Who is the Lord? That's what Agar said. Lord, don't let me be rich, because that might can happen to me. Then he said, or lest I be poor. And I start cheating on my taxes. I know y'all don't do that. I just thought I would say that. Or I start taking stuff that don't belong to me. That's stealing. Yeah. He said, whenever I do that, I take the name of my God in vain. So Agar said, Lord, and that's Brother Stroud, that's me talking. Lord, just give me that which is convenient for me. You know what I can manage. Yeah, just give me enough, the Lord, if it be your will. If it not, as we talked about earlier, I'm still supposed to be satisfied with what I have. Amen? And so Paul then said, we get to our title this morning. He told the rich, laying up in store, I mean treasuring up for themselves, a good foundation against the time to come. Time to come is the future, Paul said. And then, this is where I get my title from this morning, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's the question. How do we lay hold on eternal life? Yeah. So you got to lay hold on it. That's something that you grab, but you grab this type of grabbing, as we understand from the scripture. When the Bible tells you to understand, that means to grab with your mind. So you got to lay hold on eternal life with your mind. Let's talk about eternal life a minute. First of all, when Paul wrote to Titus, he let us know that eternal life is a hope. He said, in hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. For the first thing about eternal life, it is a hope. It's a hope. But Paul said it's something that when he wrote to Titus, it's something that God has promised. We find that in 1 John 2. John wrote, and this is the promise that he promised us, even eternal life. The word promise, by definition, is a statement telling someone that something would happen in the future. So God has promised us eternal life. That's the scripture teaches. Yeah, in hope of eternal life, he told Titus. And then when John wrote, John said that this is something that God has promised us, even eternal life. Then later on in John's writing, John said a couple of things. He said, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in who? Yeah. So eternal life is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. No, that's what I got to know. Nobody.
living today have eternal life? No one. Yeah. Yeah. Because when we are baptized, we are saved from our past sins. Yeah. That's what we are. We're from our past sins. Yeah. Nobody. It's a hope. It's a promise that God give that's in Jesus Christ. And then he say, he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So if I don't have Christ, if I'm not in Christ, I don't have eternal life.
So, what I do, Brother Stroud? Well, we got to go to the Bible.
The Bible says about Solomon, 1 Kings 3, that God said he was no one will be ever wiser than him that on earth other than Jesus. And so, Solomon told us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Yeah. So I read about five people who died. They had to have reverence for God. The word fear in this text means, when you see fear, fear can mean two definitions. Fear can be timid, as in afraid or cowardly, or fear also is used when it's translated in the King James. It means respect or reverence or honor. So the Bible says here that the conclusion of the whole matter, I don't care what you done on this earth, if you have not feared God and kept his commandments, that is your duty. Yeah, that's your duty. That's your duty. And then Jesus said, if you love me, if you love the Lord, he said, keep my commandments. If you love the Lord, keep his commandments. So there's an obligation that one has to do the will of God. In Mark, turn to Mark chapter 10. I wanted to see that for a minute because some of us may be faced with this. Mark chapter 10. And I think the verse, let me pick up Mark chapter 10. And look at verse 17. The young man asked a question. The Bible says in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, and when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit what? Yeah, he asked him that question. He came running to the Lord. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And now they was under the Old Testament. And Jesus answered and said unto him, why calleth me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. So he was telling him, God is good. Yeah. He said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witnesses. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And notice, the commandments that Jesus gave him were those had to do with other people. See, the Lord is concerned how we interact with people. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill nobody. Don't steal from nobody. Don't lie on nobody. Don't cheat nobody. Then honor your father and mother. He answered and said unto him, master, all these
have observed from my youth. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him. See, now what Jesus can do that none of us can do, Jesus can look into us as he did with this young man. He said, oh, Lord, I done did all that. I do that every day. Ain't no problem doing that. He said, okay. I hear you. Jesus said, there's one thing thou likest. He said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast. Give it to the poor. Don't just throw it away. Give it to people that need it. And thou shalt have, notice he said, treasures in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Lord told him, and the Lord is speaking to us. All of us have that one thing that will challenge our faithfulness to God. I got mine. You got yours. Jesus knows what that is. And so Jesus knew what the most important thing to him was. That's why Jesus said about no man can serve two masters. So Jesus told him, look here. Your issue and challenge, young person, that came running to me, asked me what I need to do to inherit eternal life. I'm going to let you know what you need to do. In this case, take the thing that's most important to you. I want you to give it away. Then Jesus said, read that text again. Give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures. Where? Jesus told him, if you do this one thing, you got heaven made. Come, take up your cross, follow me. And he was sad. At that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. In order for any of us to lay hold on eternal life, we got to put the Lord first in our life. Yeah. Now, that's going to be challenged because life itself has challenges. Life itself has issues and struggles. And, you know, I'm struggling with this. And it can be a financial challenge. It can be a health challenge. It can be a stress challenge, relationship challenges. But the Lord says this here. There's one thing that you like. Yeah, one thing. And when we understand that one thing, then life becomes easier. Amen. When I learn the one thing, life becomes easier. Yeah. Life becomes easier. And so, the Lord said to him one thing. And so I'm challenging all of us, because these people that I just read about this morning, they hadn't laid hold on eternal life. Then that song that we sung this morning, they won't have a new life on that resurrection morning. I want all us to understand Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And I want to share with us as Christians, the Christian doesn't do works to be saved. They do these because they are saved. Yeah. None of us can earn heaven. None of us can do enough to earn heaven. Yeah. How you know that, Brother Stark? Because the Bible teaches that. Yeah. Go to Romans. Show it in the Bible. Romans. Paul wrote to the Romans that you got to understand something. Where our faith in God. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. Paul said to the Romans, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Watch verse 4. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. See, when you work for something, then someone is indebted to you. God can never be indebted to none of us. Yeah. So we are saved by the grace of God, not by what we do. However, we need to do what the Lord say do. Yeah. Because we are saved by grace. It's through faith. The word of God teaches me those things that I need to do in order to be saved. So how do we lay hold on eternal life? It's by having faith in God and doing the things that a Christian ought to do. And also working on those struggles. Whatever that one thing is in life. Sometimes it can be people. I talk about now sometimes. Nouns are people, places, and yeah. Some of us may miss that hold on eternal life because of nouns in our lives. I tell people sometimes you need to change your nouns. Change the people you're running with. Change the places you used to go and stop doing the things you used to do. That I can lay hold on eternal life. And Paul closed the letter. He said, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling and oppositions, he said, of science. In closing, the preacher or the evangelist has a responsibility to keep himself right and then take care of the congregation spiritually through the word of God. The minister should focus on spiritual subjects. Then he told him in this last verse, with some professing have erred concerning the faith, he said, grace be with thee. Amen. The preacher misses the mark when he does not teach truth from the scriptures. The preacher needs the grace of God and all that he is trying to do for the congregation. I want to say to the church here, some of you may not know your words of encouragement, how much it means to me. Yeah. Just saying encouraging words. Because sometimes, as a preacher, you have to say things that sometimes people don't want to hear. Yeah. But as my uncle told me, Brother Miles taught me, he said, if you scared to get up and tell the people what the word of God said, you need to sit down. You got a yellow streak down your back. Now, I got on a yellow tie, but I ain't got no yellow streak. Yeah. We see if you're scared, sit down somewhere. So I want to say to the church,
I love this congregation, and I want every one of us to lay hold on eternal life. You can only do that by doing the will of God through faith from the Word of God. Don't be like the rich young ruler. Because God knows whatever our challenge is, and God may put that challenge, put you to that challenge, and ask you to choose. He went away sad. I want all of us to be saved. How are we saved? The Bible tells, now I'm talking to you, you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian. Let me say this also. I'm talking now to those that are not a Christian. But I'm also talking to someone here visiting and you want to become, or you want to, as we call it, we don't say a place of membership, but you choose to serve with us. You come up and say, I want to choose to serve with this congregation. Yeah, you can do that too. You'll be part of us. Amen? Amen. But if you're not, when Paul wrote the letter in Timothy, that's why I use it, because it was a letter he wrote. He told him there's one God and one mediator between God and man. That man is Christ Jesus. Then he told him what God did, what Christ did for us. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He wanted Timothy, or he reminded Timothy, to tell the people that what Jesus did, he paid a price that none of us could pay. We were all held captive by sin. What Jesus did, he gave up his life in atonement for our sin, and it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions stated in the Bible. In other words, you got to do what the Bible say do to become a Christian. What does the Bible say do? Five acts. Paul, Jesus said, all these is what Jesus said. He said unto them, but rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you got to not only hear the word of God, but you got to keep it. Okay, I got that part. Hear the word of God and keep it. Second, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. You got to believe that God sent Jesus Christ to live on this earth, and he died for your sins. That's what you got to hear. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again the third day. Then he said, you got to repent. I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And perish means to be lost. If a person doesn't repent, no one can go to heaven if they don't repent. No one. Because the word perish here means to be lost eternally. Okay, so I hear the gospel, I believe it, I repent of my sin. Then you need to make the confession that you now believe. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before me, and him will I confess also before my Father. So we got to be able to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Jesus said, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to tell the Father about you. And then the final act, Jesus said, he said unto them, his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel of three facts, that Jesus Christ died for our sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. You must imitate what Christ did. No one is a son of God or a child of God until they are water baptized. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again spiritually. So if anybody die, I want to make this clear, if you die, and you have not been baptized, according to John 8:21, you are dying in your sin. And Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. Make that clear. Yeah. So you got to believe in Jesus and the gospel. Then you got to be water baptized. Then you're saved. And when you're water baptized, what the Lord does is, I said it earlier, the Lord adds you to the church, those that are saved. Yeah, you're added to the church. What church, Pastor? The Bible tells us those that are in the church are the spiritual baptized, body of baptized believers. You're called out from the world over which Christ rules as the head. So there's only two conditions you can live in now. Either you're living in the world or you're living in the church. Yeah. But all the saved are in the church. We'll be clear on that. What church? Paul said it when he wrote to the Romans. He said, the churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. So if I'm water baptized and I'm a Christian, well, I become a Christian. How do you know that? Because the Bible says it. when Paul talked Agrippa, he asked Agrippa, do you believe the prophet? And he told him, he said, I know you believe. There are some people, when you teach them, they believe it. They know what you're telling them is truth. And then Paul asked Agrippa the question as I close. He said unto Agrippa, Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Now I want to say this morning, if you're here in the audience this morning, we don't want you to be almost. We want you to be altogether a Christian. You're sitting in there this morning and you have not obeyed the Lord. You are still in your sins. Your sins are not washed away until you are baptized, because by faith, the blood of Jesus is in the water. The only way you can lay hold, have a hope. Remember we said, the only way I can have a hope of eternal life, I got to obey the Lord. And as a Christian, I got to live faithful to the Lord. What faith mean, Brother Strada? I'm faithful to worship service. I'm faithful to Bible class. I'm faithful on Wednesday night conference call. I'm faithful in my ministries. Yeah. I'm active in the Lord. I'm working out my soul salvation. Philippians 2 and 12. There's someone today that would like to respond to the message by obeying the Lord, or you want to serve with us. We're going to give you that chance as our brother David comes up and sing a verse of a hymn, a plan of salvation to those that come. We ask you to gather, stand, and sing.
God sent his son.